of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I activate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I speak resurrection. I activate the fruit and change movement to begin.
For the love of God, go, go, My grandson was still walking. He was even enjoying this whole experience. Now, just before, at just that moment, I realized that the lights had actually turned green. So I waved one final goodbye to all the lovely people that I met today who love Jesus, and I turned around through the intersection. And just as I did that, I realized the light had turned red. Nobody else could follow me on through the intersection, but at least I knew that they all love Jesus. Are you feeling that way this morning? Are you loving Jesus this morning?
Yes.
All right. This morning we're going to be talking about our favorite scripture verse, I think, in Evangelical Christian Fellowship. This is the verse that we use all the time. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Okay, the PowerPoint is not really working, but we won't worry about that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Second key scripture verse today is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Think back to the last 4 weeks, the last 4 Sundays, and the messages that have been coming through. Think about Pastor Tio Wiking, who we've been blessed to have, and the theme that has been running over these last, I would say, 4 to 6 Sundays. What are some of the things that you heard? This bit's interactive now. What are some of the things that you remember? It doesn't have to be the whole message, but just sound bites. Just a few things. Sorry? Altar. Thank you. Same thing. Altar. Thank you. What else did we hear? Prayer. Thank you. It's only coming from this side of the room. This bit's interactive. What else? Yes, Isaac.
Missions.
Thank you. Yeah. What else?
Giving,
thank you.
Sacrifice,
thank you. Thanks, Daniel. All the answers are coming from this side of the room. That's good. And what did we hear? And more recently, we were listening to Dr. Clarice Fluitt at Friday prayer meeting, and also this week in our life groups. What are some of the things that you remember from the audio tracks listening to her?
Our God is
a consuming fire. What else? I must speak it, yep. So I must first believe, then I must say it out, yep. Anything else?
Agree with God.
Agree with God. Over and over, I think several times in several of the tracks, she said, who would agree with God? Who would agree with God? What else did she say? There was another one that we talked about in our life group about when we don't agree with God and we don't agree with what he says, when I say something that is contrary to what God is saying, that is actually, anyone remember? It's actually testifying against God. So when I do that, I'm testifying against God. Yeah. So I must agree with what he says, and I must also say it out. We talked about the last time when we looked at the scripture, we focused on the second part of this verse, when we looked at, tying back to John Osteen. We have to recognize the thoughts that we have, shut out the thoughts that are not of God, agree with what God's thoughts are for me, towards me, and agree with what God's thoughts are about the situation, and I must rebuke the thoughts that are not of God, tell the devil, shut up, get out, and leave. And then after that, I must replace those thoughts, and I must repeat what God says. So I must actually say it out. That's great. Anything else that we remember this week from Dr. Clarice Fluitt? Can you see a theme going here in the last 4 weeks? Yeah. Great. So today I'm just going to build on the themes that we've been listening for the last 4 weeks about altar, about sacrifice, about fire. Now, I'm going to pass it to you quickly. I cannot claim to say that, I have all these stories of where I've given everything. I've not lived a life like she has. And some of us may never, ever be called to live the life that she has. But God is still calling us do. That's the thing that I must do. That is the thing that I must obey. What is the best gift that I can give to God is my obedience. And a life continually lived of obedience is the little daily things that God is looking for. Not necessarily the big, the great things, but the little daily things, the little things that He's looking for. My obedience in the little things. Amen? Amen. Okay. So I'm going to build on that. These last 2 months, we've also been reading the book of Exodus, and now we're embarking on Leviticus, and there's a lot of scriptures in here that talk about altars and sacrifice and offerings. This week, we were reading Leviticus 1 through to 7, and Leviticus 1 through to 7 talks about the different types of offerings, and those offerings also give us a picture of what God wants from us in terms of our own life as a living sacrifice, as an offering unto Him. Amen. So we're going to take some time to look at that. Now, building on this concept about altar, sacrifice, our life is a living sacrifice, and then how God is a consuming fire, you also remember that Dr. Clarice Lewis said that we are containers of fire, and that is what he has meant for us to be. That our lives as a temple is meant to house the fire of God, the passion and the intensity inside our when we touch somebody else, when we talk to somebody else, the fire goes up from us and lives are changed. Amen? And that is what God wants, and that is my goal, to be able to do that, to be so sensitive so that when I talk to someone, just by merely talking to them, touching them, just being with them, that they can come to know Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're going to look very quickly at fire in Scripture. Say with me, fire.
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 Okay. We're going to look at fire and the purpose of fire in Scripture and what that means to us today. And what's the purpose and what is God trying to do in our lives? And what is God speaking to us looking at these Scriptures and also thinking back about the theme that has been running through these last few Sundays. Amen? Alright. So, this is not meant to be an in-depth study. We're just meant to look at a few of these. So fire in Scripture, if you take the time to look at fire all throughout Scripture, you'll see that fire is associated with a number of different things. Again, it's not meant to be in-depth, but just in generally speaking, the fire is associated with, number one, judgment, number two, God's glory and His presence, three, an answer to prayer. God is a God who answers by fire. Number four, altar of sacrifice, where the fire burns. And the fifth one is fire is also associated with testing, purification, and cleansing. This morning, we're not going to look at all five of these in depth, but rather we're going to focus our attention on the last two, which is the altar of sacrifice, and the last one, which is testing, purification, and cleansing. Okay, so fire in Scripture is associated with five things: judgment, His glory, His presence, an answer to prayer, altar of sacrifice, testing, purification, and cleansing. Okay, so let's quickly look at the first three. Okay, so let's look at the first one, which is judgment. You don't have to write all these scriptures down, we're just going to look at this. Judgment. So fire is used for judgment. Maybe I'll just backtrack a bit and just keep it simple. Sodom and Gomorrah, we see that God rained down fire on these two cities in judgment for the lifestyle, the way that the people were living. It was an abomination to the Lord, and He sent fire. God also showed His mighty power to the Egyptians who were worshipping false gods, who were steeped in idolatry, and every single plague that He put on the Egyptians was to show His mighty power and to show them that He's the one true living God who is greater than all the gods that they worshipped. And one of the things that He did was He rained down fire in hail and in lightning. So you can just imagine the hailstones that we get here in Perth, quite small. I think the biggest one we ever received was that big. Just imagine hailstones like that. It's not is fire, raining down fire, fire and lightning. Or in the Amplified version, if you read that, there's fireballs were coming out. The Lord also judged the in the camp of the Israelites. There were Korah and those who complained and rebelled against the Lord's authority. They spoke evil, they complained, they murmured against God's set authority, and they were judged too. So the Lord devoured them with a fire. We read this, or you should have read this, last month we were reading through Exodus. So fire was sent to devour those. Elijah commanded fire from heaven to consume his enemy, and God also himself, it says in Psalms and in Isaiah, devours his enemies with fire. So we see here that fire is used by God for judgment. And also at the very end in the book of Revelation, we see that the wicked are thrown into the lake of fire, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet are all thrown into the lake of fire. Alright, moving on. The second thing fire is associated with is God's glory and his presence. One of the things that struck me when I was reading Exodus last month was that the Mount Sinai was perpetually wrapped in smoke because the Lord descended upon it. His presence covered that mountain, and that mountain was just filled with smoke because of the fire. So the fire of God's presence touched that mountain, and it was black and wrapped in smoke because of it. And that was interesting to me because we never ever think of the light of God, God's presence and fire associated with God's presence. The Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he also guided the Israelites through the wilderness with a pillar of fire. So fire is associated with God's glory and with his presence. And God also spoke to Moses face to face in the midst of fire. Last one, before we jump into our focus. God answers prayer by fire. We see this several times. In 1 Kings, we see Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal, and God answered Elijah's prayer by fire. Lift up all, everything, even the water, everything around the altar. He cleaned it up, and he answered Elijah by fire, demonstrating that he's the one true living God. Number two, God answers David by fire from heaven. When David offered and he prayed to the Lord, fire came down on the altar and consumed the offering that was offered to the Lord on the altar. So he answers by fire. And similarly, when Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord, God answers Solomon also by fire and again consumed the offering that was being offered to the Lord. So, fire in scripture associated with judgment, glory and presence, and an answer to prayer. Moving on, this is the one that we want to focus on, which is altar of sacrifice. God gave instructions for how to offer sacrifices, an offering by fire. In Leviticus chapter 1 through 7, we see that God has given very specific instructions for the types of offering, how they're meant to be offered, and every one of them was made by fire. And you'll notice, I have it in my Bible, and when it was offered by fire, fire played a role in consuming the offering, and what then happens is a fragrance is then released. When the fire consumes the offering, so for example, if it was the grain offering, the grain offering was always offered with frankincense, and once the frankincense is consumed with the fire or burned, it releases a fragrance, an aroma, and in the Bible it says a sweet aroma to the Lord. And that's what fire does to the offering. It burns it up and it releases a sweet aroma to the Lord. Similarly with the other offerings, when they were consumed with fire, the burnt meat released a sweet aroma to the Lord. So this is not the latest slides, but I'll just talk you through very quickly the five offerings. In Leviticus chapter 1 through to 7, we see there are five types of offerings, and each one of those five offerings can tell us something about requires of us. The first one in Leviticus chapter 1 is the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to atone for sins. And in Numbers chapter 28, verses 3 to 4, this offering was offered in the morning and in the evening. We know this because we talk about this all the time. Psalms 141, verses 1 to 2. In the morning and in the evening, I lift up my hands as a morning and an evening sacrifice. So the burnt offering tells us that the other thing about the burnt offering is everything has to be burned. That is the point of the burnt offering. Everything has to be consumed and burned. No part of it was to be taken for consumption or to be left. Everything had to be burned. So the burnt offering tells us that God requires an offering in the morning as the morning and the evening sacrifice. So that's why it says in the Psalm, I lift up my hand as a morning and an evening sacrifice. We offer ourselves morning and evening. And the burnt offering has to be burnt all the way through. That's what God requires of us. So as a living sacrifice, to be fully burnt. Fully burnt, which means God wants all of us. God wants all of us, and He wants us to dedicate our lives to Him as a morning and an evening sacrifice. Twice a day, daily, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, morning and evening. Take all of me, Jesus. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, use my body. Holy Spirit, I belong to you. Use me today. What do you want me to do today? Number two, the great offering in Leviticus chapter 2. The great offering was an offering of thanksgiving. It was always offered with frankincense. Frankincense symbolizes prayer and intercession. So the great offering is always offered with prayer and intercession. So our lives, what does that tell us about our lives? Our lives as a living sacrifice must be a life of continual prayer and intercession and thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen? So number two, the grain offering. Leviticus chapter 2, an offering of thanksgiving, always offered, with prayer and intercession. Number three, Leviticus chapter 3 tells us about the peace offering. The peace offering is a free will offering, and it is a meal shared with the Lord and the priest. So a certain portion of the peace offering was consumed, and the rest were for it was meant to be partaken with the priests were meant to partake of it as well. So a peace offering is a free will offering. What does that tell us about our lives? What does that tell us about us as a living sacrifice? That God wants us to voluntarily give ourselves to Him. A free will offering rather than, He doesn't force us. He doesn't say, you must, you have to. But He wants us to, out of our own free will, out of our love for the Lord, give ourselves to Him. Give our all to Jesus. Number four, Leviticus chapter 4 tells us about the sin offering. This sin offering deals with unintentional sins or ceremonial uncleanness, and there were different instructions based on which group you belong to. Whether you're a high priest, if you're a leader, or you're a common Israelite, there were different things you had to do to offer the sin offering. So therefore, what does this tell us about us? This is a bit interactive. The sin offering. We have to come to God and deal with the sins, be clean, be made clean, and then God has different expectations of leaders and other people. God deals more, has a higher expectation if you're in a position of leadership. Therefore, their requirements are different. And the last one here, the trespass offering in Leviticus chapter 5, tells us that this offering was to atone for sins such as extortion, fraud, lying to neighbors, and also included acts of restitution that had to be made as part of this trespass offering. Five offerings: burnt, grain, peace, sin, and trespass offering. These offerings tell us about what God looks for in our sacrifices to the Lord. He is looking for us to come to Him morning and evening, presenting our bodies, coming to Him so that He can cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus. Everything has to be burned. He wants all of us, not some of us, but all of us. He wants us to come to Him and live our lives continually as a life of thanksgiving, a life continually of prayer and intercession. He wants us to come to Him free will and voluntary, not feeling like we're forced. In the New Testament, it tells us that He wants a cheerful giver, not somebody who feels like, oh, you're twisting my arm, okay, I'll have to give to you. But He's looking for those who will give to Him cheerfully and willingly and with a heart of gratitude, because we recognize how much He has done for us and what sacrifice He's given to us. Therefore, I willingly give to Jesus. But that's kind of the theme that we've been hearing over the last four Sundays about giving our all. What is the all that God is asking to give today? What is the all that God is asking us to give to Him today? What is the obedience that God is asking us to do today? Amen?
Amen. Testing and purification.
So another purpose for fire is testing and purification. Number one, what will be tested in fire? Number one, our faith. Last week we heard, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Nation was sharing about enduring faith. It's not about how well we start, but how well we finish the race. Enduring faith. And we read in the book of Jude the three times that beloved was used. Beloved. Should we turn to that very quickly? Three times that beloved was used. Let's turn to Jude. Jude chapter 1, Jude 3. Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. To contend earnestly for the faith. Verse 3. The next time beloved is mentioned is in verse 17. But beloved, remember the word which was spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, hold these words that are being said, because in between verse 3 and verse 17, certain men crept into the church and people were swept away because the foundation was not firm, because their faith was not enduring. And these people were people that were in the church. They weren't people that were outside. Deception was right inside the church. So therefore, Jude had to say these things to the people in the church. Contend earnestly for the faith. It's not enough to just say a sinner's prayer and attend church every Sunday and think that I'm okay. And this is for me. I grew up in the church. I grew up here in Sunday school, and I can have a false sense of security thinking that I'm okay. Because I'm in church all the time. I grew up in the church. Our family's probably been here the longest. I can think to myself that I'm okay. I can think to myself, I serve the worship team. I go to a life group. I go to prayer meeting. I go for training with pastors, so I should be okay. I can think that, right? But that doesn't mean anything. If I don't take it seriously and take my faith seriously, then I can just be swept away. Just like all those people in Jude. And that's why the warning came. Contend earnestly for the faith. And that fight doesn't finish until the day that I see Jesus. It's not how well I start the race. It's not how great I did last time. It's not what an amazing job I did, you know, last year or the Easter parade or whatever. It doesn't mean anything. It's what am I doing right now to contend for the faith. And it's constantly doing. So I cannot afford to have a false sense of security. We talk about this at work. You all know that I'm doing health and safety. And with the operations people, some of these operators, I did lots of site trips, especially December and January. And these guys have been working. I'm a young guy, right? I'm new. But these guys have been doing their jobs for 20, 30 years. But one thing they will tell me is, you know, Grace, it's really easy to become complacent. This was their words, I didn't say it. It's really easy to become complacent because we know our stuff. We know all of our gear, we know where the valves are, we know the manuals. We've done this stuff for 20, 30 years. And they said to me, it's very easy to fall into routine because, you know, you wake up, you check the pipe, you look at the data coming on the screen, and then you do your work. And then you have planned maintenance, you have a schedule, you have routine, and then we just do things. But sometimes the stuff that comes through is not indicative of what's actually happening out on site. Meaning the reports they get through, the data that they get, doesn't actually tell you what the condition is of the plant. So what they need to do is they get the report, they have to walk out to the plant and physically inspect the pipe, physically inspect the valve, physically check that everything is actually as it should be and that actually nothing goes wrong. Because what can happen if something goes wrong? If there's like LNG in there, liquefied natural gas, hydrocarbons, the very worst that can happen is an explosion of the plant and multiple fatalities and loss of life. That's the very worst that could happen. And sometimes, if you look at incidents that have happened in history, a lot of these incidents can be pinpointed to very, very small actions. Failure to go out and physically inspect, a whole range of things. So these guys are telling me, Grace, it's very easy to become complacent because we know all of our stuff. We've done it for 20, 30, 40 years. And that message, when I listened to that and I heard them tell me that, I thought, wow, there's some spiritual truth to that. There's some spiritual truth to that. I can get complacent because of routine. That's what I do. I go to Wednesday life group. I go to Friday prayer meeting. I go to church on Sunday. And it's a routine. And I can take things very casually. And I can develop a sense of complacency rather than taking my faith seriously and earnestly contending for it. And taking every meeting seriously and listening to everything that God is telling me and looking at the themes that God, because God is actually speaking. God has been speaking every Sunday since the beginning of this year. Not that it wasn't last year, but there's a theme. And especially the last few Sundays, we can see that there's a constant theme that has been going. Altar, giving our all, sacrifice, and then contending for the faith, having an enduring faith that everything that I do is either going to build my faith or tear it down. I'm either working on it or I'm going backwards. And that speaks to me. Verse 17, remember the words. And then the last one in Jude 20, building up myself in the most holy faith. How do we build ourselves up? Pastor Nation has said this many times. The answer is right there in that verse. By praying in the Holy Spirit. We build our faith up, the faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit. And then it continues on for the rest of Jude. So this is a very, very relevant message to us today. Our faith is the one that's being tested. So this is from 1 Peter. So the genuineness of my faith, which is much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though it is tested and purified by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor and the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want God that He tests my So our faith is tested. The other thing that gets tested is our works, including our motives. And the last one is our fruitfulness. He tests our fruitfulness. So our works, he tests my motive. Why am I doing what am I doing? Is it because I want to be up in front? One of the things that I do is I coordinate the worship and earth prayer, and I have a lot of people who come up to me and they want to join the worship team. Some of them are very enthusiastic and really, really great. They come up to me, I want to join the worship team. And one of the first things I ask them is, how are you serving in your local church? And if they say, I'm not, then that sends red flags to me. I've had so many people who come up and they want to join the worship team because they want to be up front. They want to, you know, look great, sound great. And when that happened, I had to ask myself the same question. Why am I in the worship team? Why am I? Is it because I want to be up the front? I had to challenge myself and my own motives. Is it because I want to be seen by others? Is it because I want to be recognized by others? Is it because I want people to say, Grace, you're such a great person. You're such a good leader. You're such a good this. Is it because I value people's praise more than God's praise? I had to ask myself those questions and challenge myself that am I in this because I want to give my all to Jesus, or is it because I want to steal God's glory? Yeah. I had to ask myself and I had to challenge myself. My works, including my motives for why I do things, will be tested by fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, because on that day it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test the quality and the character and the work of each person's work. That's the Amplified Version. And the last one is our fruitfulness. Matthew chapter 3, 7, and also John tells us that anything that is unfruitful will be burned in fire. So our fruitfulness, God is testing our fruitfulness. What fruits are we producing? Are we fruitful or are we not? Our faith will be tested. Our works, our motives will be tested. And our fruitfulness will also be tested. Lastly, I'm just going to finish off with this. In Revelation chapter 1, it has a description of the Lord. And we read this. So maybe we can turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And there is a description of Jesus. And it starts off with, I'm just going to start reading from verse 10. Revelation 1, verse 10. Maybe Daniel, you can help me get there. Revelation 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like a son of man, who we know is Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand on me and he said, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. And then it says in verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So in Revelation chapter 1, it gives us an idea of Jesus, the description of Jesus, and it says his eyes are like a flame of fire. Remember, fire speaks of judgment, glory and presence, and answer to prayer, testing and purification, and also of sacrifice. So the fire. fire is burning, and when he looks at us, when he comes again, when Jesus comes again, it's to judge the world, and his eyes are like a flame of fire. What was that picture of in Revelation 1? He was looking at the lampstand. He was assessing the condition of the church. He is assessing whether there's enough oil or whether there wasn't, whether the wicks were trimmed, whether they weren't. And today, the message to us today is he's looking at us. What is our condition today? He's looking amongst the churches. He's looking at us individually. He's looking at us. What is our attitude? What is our motive? What is our faith like? He's testing our faith. He's testing our works. He's testing our motive. He's testing our fruitfulness. He is testing our lives to see that we would be a sweet aroma to the Lord. Romans 12 is all about a life that is daily lived to Jesus. What is our condition today that he is counting on? What is the obedience that he wants from us today? The best gift that we can give to God is a life of obedience. An obedient life that he can use. Because he wants to smell the sweet aroma of our life that is being birthed from the altar of sacrifice. Amen? Amen. So, this morning as we come to the Lord, let's allow the Holy Spirit to show us areas that we need to repent of. For me, pride is an area that I often struggle with, and I often have to ask the Lord to forgive me. Complaining, murmuring, complacency, these are the attitudes that I know that I struggle with personally. And this is the most attitudes that I have to daily deal with, because these are the ones that, for you it might be different, but for me I know mine. Pride, complacency, complaining, and not being grateful, those are the ones for me. Holy Spirit will reveal to you what are the ones for you. This morning, let the Lord challenge us, and let the fire burn in our lives so that all the dross is burned away. Amen? So that our lives may be a living sacrifice. Amen.
Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit and fire. You can refer back to Matthew chapter 3:7, you can see the renovation. Yeah. He is just cleansing us with his word. Proverbs 17. Verse 3 is refining torch is for silver, furnace the fire for gold, but the Lord tests our heart. Yeah? Remember? But refining what for silver, furnace fire for gold. We sing this song, fire, fire, don't be fine. Our heart is very important. Out of the heart come issues of either death or life. Proverbs 4:23 is saying, guard our heart, for out of it comes issue of life. If I don't guard my heart, it come issues of death. So we're going to guard our heart, then it will come issues of life. If we don't, then death will come. So we just stand and say, us that he will be the coming judge. He will be the coming judge. The mercy, the blood is still crying out for mercy on behalf of us. When he comes, the mercy is no more. We thank God for mercy. All the time he's speaking to us, he's speaking to us, he's speaking to us to change. fire, remove all dross, all sin. Remember, I told you a number of times when the Holy Spirit came upon me, 1 hour I was shaking. Before that, I said, what sin have I committed? You were still young, right? When the fire of the Holy Ghost came, you could see the sins that is before you. Yeah, then you cry. You will shake. This is, I will pray, blessing. We need another invasion of the Holy Ghost by you. Ask the Holy Spirit, fill me, hurt me, seriously. We need the fire of God. Yeah, in order to be contained of fire, we need the fire to bless us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And also, you see, there will be unquenchable fire. It's all in Matthew chapter 3, 17 onwards. We need Him to bless us so that we don't face the unquenchable fire. We praise God for the name of Jesus. We praise God for the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And your mercy upon us, in Jesus' mighty name.